Hey, tonight we're back in Proverbs, and I gave you note sheets with all my points already filled in. Two reasons. One, because I didn't get it done early enough to take out words and make you fill them in. And two, because I'm going to throw so much at you tonight that you can take your own notes out in the margin and hopefully increase that much more. I'm afraid this is what Proverbs is like. Wisdom encompasses everything in the universe, and it comes at it from many different directions. And whenever we talk about any subjects, we're going to look at a whole bunch of Proverbs, because the wise man, the wise woman, has to be able to process a lot of information. And this, by the way, guys, is something you should appreciate about your wife. She is much more prone to consider more factors than you are. She's not just filling the air with questions to challenge your authority or to challenge your intelligence. She's thinking through this from about 40 different directions that you're not thinking about, because men tend to try to find one fact that will just make the decision no matter what else is going on, and that's one of our favorite ways to do something that our conscience is telling us not to do. We get down to that one fact. Well, in order to get a better grasp on wisdom, we need to consider what it's like when wisdom is absent, because folly is pretty manifold as well. And we're going to do that tonight by considering the types of fools portrayed in Proverbs by different Hebrew words that are used for a foolish person in the course of the text. Sometimes they're translated fool, sometimes they're translated otherwise. But there are really three main classifications of fool on your sheets. Number one is the simpleton, the simple fool. Number two is the classic fool. Number three is the scorner. And you can think about these as ascending severity of foolishness. Okay? But here's what I want to challenge you before we ever get into it. When you read certain proverbs, someone will come to mind. You cannot avoid it. Okay? My wife and I read one of them to her earlier, and she laughed and said, "Were you thinking of it?" I said, "Yeah, you know, that's a very natural thing. There's nothing wrong with you if that happens. But resist the temptation to dwell on this person must be this kind of fool." And wait till your face pops up when we read one of these, and that's what you need to really focus on, okay? Because as we'll see real quickly, there isn't a whole lot that someone outside of a person can do for their folly. So let's look at these three classes individually, according to what Proverbs teaches about them. The first one is the simple fool. The terminology involved here is a Hebrew word peti, which, you know, means nothing to you, but it has the idea of being deceived or seduced. It is a gullible, silly, and naive person. You say, "Oh, that's not me." Well, it depends on where you are, doesn't it? I mean, have you ever been, you know, just nailed by, you know, you just didn't know what was going on around you and those kinds of things? We've all been foolish like this. Proverbs 14:15 describes this person this way: "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps." The simple fool just goes along, okay? Now, let's look at some of the characteristics when that's your life. First of all, you tend to be morally willful and irresponsible. Morally willful and irresponsible. In other words, you do whatever. You don't let your conscience bother you. What you know, you just do it. And by the way, this is most often seen, obviously, to adults with students who one kid gets something in his head and then everybody decides that's true and they all jump over the cliff together. Okay, and that's why we always say, "Well, if they jumped off the cliff, would you, you know, just, well, they're not jumping off a cliff. They're wearing ridiculous, absurd, ugly, and overcost, overpriced clothing." Okay, that's what they're doing. Well, that's what the simple person does. It says, "You know, it really doesn't matter what I may know better, but it doesn't really matter." Proverbs 22:3 is a very good verse to hold together both for wisdom and folly, where it says, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself." He does something about it. But the simple pass on and are punished. It really doesn't matter what they see coming. They just go ahead and do it. Okay? Here's the adult version. Someone else got a new car, so we have to too. And even though I know that I'm setting myself up for financial ruin, because that's what somebody else did, and I really want one, I'm going to go ahead and do it, and their actions justify it, because if it was wise for them, it must be wise for me, and welcome to the simple fool territory. They see the trouble, they know what car payments are like, but they don't hide themselves. They just go on anyway. The second thing that the simple fool is self-destructive. And by the way, when you see the word simple here. That's all this same Hebrew word. Proverbs 1:32, "For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." A simple fool becomes a lazy person. A simple fool becomes a person who really can't act, as we're going to see in a minute, without somebody out there in front of him to tell him how to do it and explain it and watch. And this person is going to destroy their own life by not being willing to learn and to study. Now let me just say here, I don't know how much you read, but the shortcut to being a simple fool in American society is watching television. Between advertisement that is marked as advertisement and advertising that is not marked as advertisement but is marked as news, you will be a simple fool biblically if that is all the stuff that you take in. I think I've showed you, given you this illustration before, but it's very powerful to me. Where I read a headline that says, "Study shows spanking to be an ineffective discipline tool." Well, that kind of catches my attention when somebody tells God that he's wrong. So I read the article, and they're saying all the study was done and how they found this terrible results whenever spanking was employed. So I went one step further, and I looked up the article on the internet. Do you know what the study was? They studied teenage unwed mothers under 18 to figure out what discipline works. If you're a teenage unwed mother under 18, you don't know anything about discipline, I guarantee it. And what you do and don't do really doesn't have anything to do with somebody who's actually trying to follow some other. You need to look at it, do the research, because this world is stacked to make you self-destruct on worldly wisdom. And every week there's a new study. And you notice if you watch after a while, this one contradicts this one, which contradicts this one, which contradicts this one. And I'm going, would you go back and get back to the original precursor of wisdom and see what God says? By the way, God is no fan of anger. And so when you say, well, I disciplined my child with a rod, but it didn't do any good. Do you know that the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God? James chapter 1. And so the minute that you discipline in anger, it really doesn't matter if you spank them, withhold privileges or whatever, tell them they're not going to be able to date till they're 42. Your anger cancels out all godly impact of that discipline. It really doesn't matter what it is. That's God's wisdom in His Word. It's self-destructive. The simple person finds folly fun. Okay? I'm really frustrated that men are growing up today never getting past junior high on this level. That the idea of recreation is doing something dumb, foolish, absurd. Okay? Listen, Proverbs 15:21, "Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly." I don't know what you get your jollies from, but you got to grow up in this. When I was a child, I thought like a child, I spoke like a child, and if I can modify Paul's things, I played like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But I'm dealing, you know, forgive my little pet peeve here, but I'm dealing with 30-year-old men with children whose entire family is on edge because they can't turn off video games or sports or whatever else it is. This is simple foolishness. It finds folly to be fun, and it's the only thing they know how to do. Fourth, a simple fool is very difficult to teach. Very difficult to teach. Okay? This is what's really hard. And this is what drives you up the crib wall, by the way, when your kids are little. Because you know what? We were all born as simple fools. We need somebody to come into our life and teach us wisdom. And it's very difficult. A child changes more between 1 and 5 than they do at any other period of their life. And a solid mother, a solid father have to be there to help them start to learn wisdom, to learn to apply the truth they see around them in an intelligent and godly honoring way. What does it take for the simple fool? Number one, they need visual examples. They need visual examples. They need to see. Now, interestingly enough, here, listen to this verse for a minute, and let me go back to it. Proverbs 19:25, strike a scoffer, and the simple will become wary. Rebuke one who has understanding, he will discern knowledge. Notice the first half of that. Scoffer is the last one we're going to look at. This is the postgraduate fool. Okay? And you got to deal decisively with that, or simple fools will learn the wrong lessons. They tend to be followers. And I say that to people who have perhaps forgotten the necessity of just biblical godly separation from the world. How do you strike a scoffer today? Number one, you turn the television off. Ridiculousness comes on the tube, it's off, it's done. How do you strike a scoffer today? Don't let their absurdities go unchallenged. You got to sit down and talk with the kids about what you just saw and you just heard. You can't avoid them seeing or hearing it, but you got to be able to sit down with them and say, here's the problem with that. Which, of course, assumes that you're not a simple fool yourself, that you can discern these things. They need visual examples. They need to see you do something about folly when it invades the world and in your life. And you got to challenge these thoughts when you hear them being propagated to children or other people. Number two, they are difficult to teach because they tend to wander into temptation's path. Okay, temptation doesn't have to come find them. They're so busy going da 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 that they end up right there. Go to Proverbs chapter 7 for a minute, would you please? There's a great object lesson in this in Proverbs chapter 7. And we're going to start at verse 6. Please follow along as I read verses 6 to 9 in Proverbs 7. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. Who's her? The folly, the immoral woman. And he took the path to her house. Now, he may have done it in ignorance. He may have done it intentionally. It really doesn't matter. The simple fool tends to go that way. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark at night. Why did he go there? Because he didn't think anybody could see him. Yeah, can we break that one? Somebody always sees you. Okay, that's part of wisdom. You know that what's happening is on record somewhere. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. Very attractive to the simple fool. Oh, wow, she's different than my mom. I hope. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face she said to him, I have peace offerings with me today, I have paid my vows, so I came out to meet you. And he's so simple, he doesn't realize that she didn't know he was there. He's just the latest mark. Came out to meet you, you're so special. Now you're breathing. And I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen, you ought to see my place. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband's not at home. He's irrelevant. He has gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. And with her enticing speech, she causes him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. And immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter. That's a great picture, isn't it? Moo. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. He wanders places he shouldn't go, he encounters people he should not be attracted to, and someone needs to say, don't go there, you know, this is when you need to turn away. Watch out. As one commentator said it, he met a woman who knew what she wanted and what he half wanted, and they got together, and the rest is history. The simple fool is a wandering fool. And here's the thing. A simple fool gets worse without intentional change. You know, there's a joke that I tell to people sometimes when doing counseling. You know how many pastors it takes to change a light bulb? The answer is one, but the light bulb's got to want to change. Do you know how many wise people it takes to help a fool? Only one, but the fool's got to want to change. They've got to be sick of where they are. In Proverbs 14:18, the simple inherit folly. They get it more. They don't have to do anything. They just breathe and it's theirs. But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. They have to pursue something else in order to have the good stuff come into their life. And the bottom line is the simple fool needs spiritual change. They need spiritual change. Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 20, remember we talked about this wisdom calling out. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Here's the problem with the simple fool. They're content with being a fool. They're content right where they are. Don't need a change. Not hungry, like he's saying about this morning. I'll do it okay. Or like the cartoon, you like the commercial? I like the one with all the men getting electrocuted and everything. I'm good. You know what that is? It's a simple fool. It really is. I've just done something incredibly stupid. I'm good. I'm okay. For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you. You do not have to stay a simple fool. It takes a lot. It has to be intentional. You have to desire to grow, but you don't have to stay there. Can I just give you some things that I think are helpful? Number one, read broadly. Okay? I don't get everything right. That's for sure. But, you know, when I talk to Carol Raleigh about my taxes, I've been reading about taxes and tax law and what's going on out there. When I talk to somebody else, when I meet somebody, they got a job in a field I don't know anything about, I go and research and I try to find out who they are and what's going on in their life. What do they have to do in order to do that job? You got to have a God-driven and guided thirst for knowledge and information to get out of being a simple fool. Okay, it's very important that we do that kind of research. And by the way, reading the latest chain email is not research. Okay, I find that about 95% of those things are wrong, fraudulent, and basically absurd. And if you really want to incur my wrath, send me something that at the end tells me I'm going to have bad luck if I don't forward it. Because believe me, you're about to have bad luck because you forwarded it to me. You have to be willing to learn and get out and find more and more and more about more and more stuff so that you can factor all that stuff together and make solid decisions. Or you'll be a simple fool the rest of your life. But there's something worse than a simple fool. I mean, this was bad enough, right? Oh, that's the bottom level. That's where we all started in life. The next level is the established fool. This is the person who has some practice. I read that verse a minute ago, okay? This is a person who has some practice at it. And there are three terms that are used in Proverbs for this person. The first one is a kasil. That's used 50 times. It's the most frequent one. And that is a dull fool. This is a person who is so used to being a simple fool so long that they're just not too sharp. They're a dull fool. Okay? They're, we talk about that not being the sharpest knife in the drawer. And it's a pretty good thing. But the problem is that they're dull and obstinate because their outlook on life. I'll never change. I'll never grow. I'll never be different. I'll never do any better. My life is just the way it is. It's always going to be like this. It's always been like this and everything else. By the way, parents, if you teach kids that, may God have mercy on you. You can change. They can change. We can all change. Okay? If you're 90 years old, you ought to be thinking about the things that you want to accomplish between now and the day that God calls you home and the person you want to grow into being. But a dull fool, first of all, is unconcerned for wisdom. They just don't care. They know it's there, but they don't care. Proverbs 17:16, why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom since he has no heart in it? Heart for it. No, he'll stop right there. Let's apply that, okay? Why in the world does a kid have their full tuition paid for when they don't care anything about going to school? That's this kind of fool. Tuition, room, board, books. This is what I was as a freshman in college. It's all paid for, but I didn't want to be there. I don't want to go to class. I went to class because I didn't have any friends. Once I had friends, I stopped going to class. You should see my grades. You know, straight A's, first half of fall of freshman year. Straight C's and D's, the second half of the freshman year. Listen, you got to recognize this, and you got to sit on top of your kids and say, I'm not putting this money out if you don't want to be there and you don't want to accomplish anything. You say, oh, you're cheap. No, you're not cheap. You're trying to keep them from being a fool. Dull fool. Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness, giving more foolishness. Oh, man, why don't I just go ahead and go whole hog and get in big trouble here, but what magazines do you subscribe to? People? Suck up that foolishness. I'm serious. Why do you know a wise person in Hollywood? Why read about them all the time? What programs do you watch? Okay, Oprah. Give me that foolishness, Oprah. I can't live without it. Hey, that's what this person's done. They become unconcerned for genuine biblical wisdom, and they just suck up all this other garbage. A dull fool is arrogant in their folly. They're arrogant in their folly. It's really hard to talk to them. Oh, no, I'm wise. I'm good. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. They're an opened up fire hydrant of foolishness. You want an opinion, they'll give it to you. It doesn't matter if they got any wisdom or not. Proverbs 13:16, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. A prudent man stops and says, hey, let's think about this for a minute. The fool, here we go, do this. That's one of the biggest challenges of the simple fool. The simple fool tends to follow somebody, and they get tied into somebody like this, always has an answer for everything. Unfortunately, 90% of it's wrong, but they always have an answer like that, and the simple fool goes along and pays for it. This dull fool has wisdom that bombs when they share it, though, in the presence of anybody who has anything on the ball. Proverbs 26:7, like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Even when they say something worthwhile, consider the source. Proverbs 26:9, like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. It doesn't do anything. The drunk looks down and sees the thorn in his hand. Oh, how'd that get there? Yeah, well, give me another drink. Can't profit by it. And their wisdom, when they share something, doesn't go anywhere. Doesn't accomplish anything. Third about dull fools, they are spiritually defective. Okay? This is a huge issue. They like folly. They like it. Okay? You know Proverbs 26:11, don't you? As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Just go back, do it again. I had a band director in junior high in eighth grade that told us that the biggest problem that we had was what he called the do-it-again syndrome. He says you do something and it's incredibly stupid and you nearly lose your life doing it and it's extremely exciting to nearly die doing it, but when you get done, you look at each other and say, let's do it again. That's this kind of fool. Let's do it again. I shouldn't have done it in the first place, but it was fun. Let's do it again. I hear this all the time when I was in youth ministry. You know, I think Peter might have had this verse quoted to him, maybe by his mother. Do you think? Remember Big Mouth Peter? He always had an answer for anything, but 90% of the time he was wrong, right? Do you know what he wrote once he became a godly man, was using the Holy Spirit to write Scripture? 2 Peter 2:22. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit. How does Peter know that's a true proverb? He did it. He denied that Jesus was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Because when Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, he said, no, far be it from you, Lord. He denied that Jesus was his Lord and Master. He didn't even know him. He kept going back and back and back until he had to get confronted. And let me tell you something. As beautiful as I think that scene is on the Sea of Galilee with Peter and Jesus with the fish on the fire after he's caused the nets to break and everything. I really would not want to be there, sitting there having Jesus say to me, as he said to Peter, "Do you love me?" I answered just like Peter, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." But how could you ever prove it at that point? And Jesus didn't ask him to prove it. He knew he couldn't. He said, "Just feed my lambs." Dull fools like their folly. Secondly, they choose illusions over truth, especially regarding themselves. I'd rather have somebody tell me how wonderful I am, pump up my self-esteem, than challenge my self-image that maybe I'm a sinner. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The wise person says, "I want to understand what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and what the impact of it." The fool says, "Tell me anything, just don't make me feel bad. Lie to me, that's fine. Just don't make me, I don't want to have a down day." Proverbs 14:8 in the NIV is maybe a little clearer. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. I'm not going to have you turn there, but do you remember when we talked about 1 John chapter 1 and when John's talking there about if we say that we have no sin and we deceive ourselves, if we say we haven't sinned, we're a liar. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. And Warren Wiersbe points out very powerfully, I think, there's three levels there of lies. One is hypocrisy, I'm lying to somebody else. But the second one is duplicity, I'm lying to myself. When you lie to yourself, you're almost beyond help. And that goes on long enough, you end up calling God a liar. And that's apostasy. This kind of folly is very, very scary. You like to have people tell you good things no matter what you really need to hear. Third, this dull fool does not fear the Lord. Proverbs 1:29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You have to choose it, you know. You don't just fear God because you have this big experience. I almost died in a car wreck. I'll never get drunk again. That's not the fear of God. You've got to want this. You've got to choose to fear God. And the fourth thing about this dull fool is that they are harmful to those around them. They are the Calamity Jane of your life. They don't just hurt themselves. They hurt everybody else. Here's the ways that they do that. Well, first it says, let a man, Proverbs 17:12, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly, rather than a cassill in his folly. You'd rather be out there in between a mother bear and her cubs than with this guy when he's being an idiot. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will what? Be destroyed. Boy, I could give and have a testimony time now, couldn't I? The time you chose to go with people you knew you shouldn't go with, someplace you knew you shouldn't go, to do something you knew you shouldn't do, and then, boom. Yep. It isn't just the fool that gets hurt, it's the person who runs with them too. How do they hurt people? Well, for one thing, pranks. It's walking all over toes tonight, aren't I? Pranks. Proverbs 10:23, to do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding is wisdom. Why hurt somebody and laugh about it? Why set them up for a fall and then think that that's really funny? The real challenge is to help somebody along and then rejoice with them. To encourage them, to set things up so things go well in their life, not so they fall apart. He hurts people around him by being quarrelsome. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows. Yeah. Hey, quarrelsome person, you're a fool. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, you get away from useless quarrels and babbling arguments. And he said that, that's when he said, by the way, he says, if a man cleanses himself of this, or he says, flee youthful lusts. I really think in the context, he's saying youthful lusts, he's talking about is useless arguments and quarrels. You're a fool if you can't get a handle on that. This kind of fool hurts people by being abusive. Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Ever heard anybody brag about the fact that everybody always knows exactly where they stand with me? F-O-O-L. That's God's evaluation. I'm not calling them a fool. God says, if the shoe fits, you're a fool. Listen. And meditate on this one. A wise man's got control of himself. A fool hurts other people by being unreliable. Proverbs 26:6. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. You can't count on them. You never know what's going to happen, especially if you tell it to them. They'll turn it into, through the Maytag of their brain and come out as some complete mush. And it's going to hurt you in the end, going to make you look bad. But you know who they hurt the most? Family. They hurt their own family more than anyone else. Proverbs 17:25, by the way, I only pull out two verses here. There's about six or eight on this theme. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. It hurts. Your parents don't even have to be Christians for your foolishness to be a total embarrassment. In Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish man does what? He despises his mother. He makes choices that makes his mother's heart break, that tears her apart. And then I have mothers say, well, we brought him to church every week. Right, did you teach him wisdom? What's that? Listen, folly is going to tear you apart if you don't teach it to your kids. And so if you're law-oriented, by the way, if you've grown up in churches, you say, I'm so sick of rules, I'm going to tell them to raise my kids with no rules. I feel sorry for you. Because you missed the point, as we talked about this morning. It's not the rules. It's the rule giver. It's God. Now, a lot of those rules, no, they're not legal requirements of Scripture. But there is a grain of wisdom in that. Can you see the wisdom? And what other people restrict themselves from, or do you have to fight against the concept of rules so much that you become an idiot? Boy, this is negative, isn't it? The way it goes, we're talking about fools. Well, not only in the established fool does it use a word then for a dull fool, there's another word, you will, that means a stupid and stubborn fool. Oh, it gets better, doesn't it? This is just a little bit worse, a little darker version of the first one. And this is a person. This person declares his foolishness by his own mouth. I mean, Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. But what happens when he opens them? Everybody goes. This person, the only way that they can be thought to be intelligent is not talk. Hey, you've gone a long way down the path then. You don't got anything to share because you don't have any wisdom. You don't have anything new building into your life. Because once you speak, everybody knows the score. And this person's even more quarrelsome than the other one. Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. He deals with it. Let's face it, the people have been you count as the wisest in your life are the people who helped you the most when you were being stupid yourself, rather than blowing a gasket and pointing it out. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is honorable for a man to stop striving because any fool, any cassel, or the stubborn fool, can start a quarrel. In fact, that's all it takes, a little bit of stubbornness, doesn't it? Just a little bit. Proverbs 27, 3, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. You can't bear up under this continuous, quarrelsome attitude. Proverbs 29:9, if a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there's no peace. You can't settle anything. Because this person is stupid and stubborn and does not want to change or listen or hear anything. Because they are full of moral insolence. morally insolent. That means they reject all advice. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fail. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. He won't listen. I know what the right thing to do here is. Shut up, Mom, Dad. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. You ever gone back and thought about the things that you rejected of your dad's to see if there's any wisdom there that maybe you should have learned? Even if your dad was wrong and not a believer? Proverbs 14:9, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. You know, you put those two together, it's a little subtle. But the bottom line is the fool mocks at the fact that they've sinned. I didn't do it. It wasn't that bad. But the upright acknowledges their sin. Another place, Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sin will not prosper. Whoever confesses and forsakes him will find mercy. And the upright, the wise person, acknowledges their sin. And people don't think less of them because they acknowledge it, confess it, own up to it. They actually think more highly of them when they do that. Do they not? You do. Moral insolence. And this person is even more difficult to change than the simple fool. It's harder. And in fact, there are two verses that address this. And one tells us you got to start early. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness, this kind of foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. This is where your child will go if you don't work at it. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. You say, oh, we got to beat him enough. No. Spanking is a part of punishment, but it's not the only tool in the toolbox. God called Assyria the rod of his wrath in Israel's life. God's very creative in his discipline. We need to be as well. But don't throw that out either. But understand this. It's there, folks. Don't get into this. Oh, they're such little angels. No, they're not. They're devils in training. And you've got to train them out of folly. Start early. It's really hard later on. In fact, it's almost impossible. Proverbs 27:22. Boy, let this one sink in. Though you grind a fool in a mortar, you know, the druggist bowl, with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet with his foolishness will not depart from him. You can put all the pressure on him you want when he's an adult, and he's not gonna wise up. So don't quit now. Do it while you can. They're more difficult to change. You want to keep them from getting to this point. Then there's a third established fool. This is used fewer times, but it's still very powerful. This is the closed mind, absolutely committed fool. The word in Hebrew is Nabal, that we usually anglicized into Nabal. Does that sound familiar? It will in a minute, okay? But this is a person who is always boorish, overbearing in their foolishness. Proverbs 17:7, excellent speech is not becoming to a fool. Even when they say good things, you go, eh, much less lying lips to a prince. Proverbs 30, verse 21 to 23, for three things the earth is perturbed, yes, for four it cannot bear up. For a servant when he reigns, and a fool when he is filled with food. And he sits back and starts filling the air with all his baloney because he's a Nabal. Because the basic characteristic of a Nabal is a closed mind. It's closed toward God. Now we're going to go outside Proverbs for a minute. The word Nabal is used in Proverbs 14:1. The Nabal, the closed-minded, committed fool, really means an evil fool even, has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. That's how far gone this kind of person is. They're not only closed to God, but because of that, they are closed to reason. That's in 1 Samuel 25, verses 14 to 17. We're not going to be turned there, but I think you know the story. You remember Abigail? David? Okay, let me retell the story. David and his mighty men. Now, these are the guys who never lost a battle. Okay? And there's like 100 of them. They are battle-hardened warriors. Nabal and his wife Abigail are fairly well off, and they have flocks and herds, and their shepherds are down in the area where David's mighty men were. And during that time, David and his men protected them. And then David and his men had to come up by, and they send word to Nabal saying, "Hey, we're on the road. We need some help. Could you put on a meal for us," or something like that? Nabal says, "It costs too much to feed those hungry dudes. Get out of here. Go away. I want nothing to do with you." And one of the young shepherds comes to Abigail and says to her, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and our master reviled them. But David's men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything, as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. And there was a wall, they were a wall to us, both by night and by day," because during that time was the time that Israel was horrendously affected by the Philistines. "And David set his camp between Nabal's herds and the Philistines, and nobody touched them." He says, "All the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that no one can speak to him." Can't even appeal to him. You know why Abigail took the food out and met David and fed him? She was saving her husband's life. But what happened? He was such a fool, a Nabal, that when he heard about it, anybody remember? Cardiac arrest, stroke, something. He died like that. That's a Nabal. Somebody so established in their foolishness, they will not listen to anything. Not to God, not to man, not to anyone. Can you change him? It's pretty doubtful that you can. I mean, David was going to change him. He was going to change his appearance by removing his head from his shoulders. Sometimes that's about the only way it'll happen. But you know, he's not the worst. Because not only is there a simple fool and an established fool, there is a scoffing fool. There's a scoffing fool. This is the Hebrew word less. It's used 17 times in Proverbs. But I want you to understand this is a mental attitude, not a mental capacity. And a scoffer, first of all, hates correction. They're wise in their own eyes. Can't tell me nothing. Proverbs 9:7-8. "He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love you." Watch out, you're going to pay for it if you try to cross this kind of person. Proverbs 13:1, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." When a child will not listen to you whatsoever, this is where they're headed. Proverbs 15:12, "A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise." I do not want to hear it. And this therefore blocks him from wisdom. Proverbs 14:6, "A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands." He could have it, but he doesn't want it. Stay away from it. They not only hate correction, they're troublemakers. Proverbs 22:10, "Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease." A lot of churches need to learn that verse. We haven't had that problem here, thank God. But we could have. Someone who gets up and makes all this kind of trouble. And I was talking with a brother pastor a while back about somebody that we both knew. And I said, "Hey, I'll go with you. We'll go and sit down and talk to this guy because he should have known better the stuff that he was doing." And that pastor wouldn't do it. I said, "Listen, you can't duck it. You got to deal with it because it's going to hurt the church." Listen. You get rid of that person and you will suddenly find that life is so much better. But somebody says, they give so much money. What good is giving money if they're a pain in the neck? Tearing the church down, hurting the cause of Christ, the reputation of Christ. They do all kinds of things. Doesn't matter. They got to go. And in Proverbs 29:8, scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. Scoffers just stir it up. Stir it up. And if you're a gossip, you're a scoffing fool. Just no holds barred tonight. You light fires and you keep them going. And you are a troublemaker. And God says that needs to be removed. Third thing about scoffers is scoffers lead others astray, overtly. Proverbs 21:11, when the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise, but when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. You have to deal with this scoffer because the simple people are watching him and they're saying, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's why I was telling my brother pastor, you know. You got younger believers who are watching this guy and he's no spring chicken with a great reputation, and he was sinning in their business meetings and a lot of other meetings as well. I said, you got to deal with them for their sake. Proverbs 24:9, the devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. They are hurtful to people, especially to other fools. And here's the painful part. Scoffers are headed for destruction. They're headed for destruction. Proverbs 19:29, judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. God's going to discipline. That's exactly why discipline exists, to deal with a person like this. Proverbs 3:34, surely he, God, scorns the scornful, and the word scornful is the scoffer, but he gives grace to the humble. They got a problem with God. No matter what they try to point out here on earth, they got a problem with God, and God's going to deal with it. Can I give you kind of a silly application to wrap this up, or illustration? Do you remember all the fools in driver's ed? Fools in driver's ed? Oh, yeah. First of all, there was Simple Sandy. And this time the name isn't changed to protect the innocent. You'll just never know her. She was a friend of a friend of mine, and we were in the same driver's ed class together, and we were in the same car for road driver's ed. And Sandy was kind of simple. She had never driven a car before. She had never thought about driving a car before. Her parents said, it's time to take driver's ed. And being an obedient little girl, she took driver's ed and was scared out of her mind. And it's incredible how many others came along and told her how to drive. Wrong. Because she was easily impressed and led by other people. She needed a wise person in her life to keep her stable and then get her going in the right direction, or she's going to be a terrible driver. I have no idea what kind of driver she is today. I just hope I never run into her, or vice versa. But then there was Silly Sydney. Silly Sydney was a little uptight and nervous, but too proud to show it. And they missed half the class trying to be cool, to act like they know what they're doing. These kind of stuff. And good old Sandy, she's looking at them and saying, wow, you know, I want to be like them. You know, no, you don't, because they're not learning anything from this class. But there's still hope they may learn to drive after they scared themselves half to death a few times and all their passengers, right? And then there's sarcastic Sam. Too cool for his own good. He already knows more about driving than an instructor ever could. He's been driving since he was 12. Driving illegally then, he's going to drive illegally once he's got a license. License isn't going to make any difference. And he just knows it all, and he can't be told anything, he doesn't learn anything. He's the one that watched the movies. Remember those movies they showed you, all these crashes and kind of stuff? And he laughed. He was a scorner. Okay? He's in Indiana State Penitentiary today, but he was the best driver in class in his own eyes. Do you remember the song we sang just before the message? The love of God is greater. The amazing thing is that our God can overcome the shortcomings of Simple Sandy, Silly Sydney, and even Sarcastic Sam with his repentance and humbly. So the challenge to us tonight is this. Anyone could be a fool. We all are at some point in life. You are born one. What you don't want to do is get better at it. Because it gets harder and harder to change. Number two, being a fool has more to do with mental outlook than mental ability, and so there are no excuses. You can grow. Okay, there are people in this room that could read, you know, 1,000 pages a day, you know, and just soak it all up. And there are other people that have a hard time reading anything. It doesn't matter, you still got to read, because God holds you accountable for what He gave you, not what you don't have. And you got to study, and you got to get into this stuff. There's no excuses. It's your outlook that makes you a fool, not your lack of intelligence. And then third, to be wise, we all have to change and grow. You can't stand still. A wise 8-year-old that stands still is an extremely foolish 20-year-old. A wise 30-year-old that stands still is a doofish 60-year-old. Do I dare keep going? Because wisdom is a moving target. You're supposed to keep growing it. You'll never have it all. You'll never have it all together. Keep growing. Or you'll never be accounted wise in God's record books. The beautiful thing is, by grace, through His Word, by the power of His Spirit, you can change. I can't change you. But if you'll yield to Him, you can. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for even these hard things. It's not fun to look at the life of fools, especially when we resemble some of these things. We pray Your pardon, Your forgiveness, Your strength, Your enablement. We pray for Your wisdom. And we'll get into this book. We'll soak up all we can get so that we can be counted wise, not in our own eyes. That's when we're a fool, but in Yours. Father, reveal us to ourselves individually tonight that we might passionately seek out Your way, Your will, and Your paths. For we pray it in Christ Jesus' precious name. Amen.